Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Tom Lewis from IndyCornrows.com, and talking to you after the Pacers 115-108 win over the Los Angeles Lakers. And normally, any win in the NBA is worthy of celebrating. So, you know, take a moment and be happy that the Pacers won. But there were a lot of long faces and frustration among the Pacers and even Nate McMillan after the game, just because of the way they were unable to finish as they had hoped and still had issues on defensive end that were glaring. And then, of course, Jeff Teague continued his struggles shooting the ball. So they emerged from the win with some concerns, but they did emerge with the win thanks to Paul George. We'll touch on that and more as we get into the podcast, which is being brought to you today by SeatGeek and their fantastic SeatGeek app for your smartphone, which makes it easy for you to tap a few times and pick up some great seats to see the Pacers and any other events that you want to hit. So, back at the Fieldhouse, let's see. Things started out pretty well for the Pacers. I would say that Thaddeus Young and Paul George in particular took to heart the sense of urgency that Nate McMillan wanted the team to play with, and they came out strong at both ends, very active. Fortunately, Paul George finished that way as well. Thad Young had 12 of his 14 points in the first half, and PG had 10 early points as well to get things going. Pacers jumped out to a lead, and then the Lakers rallied, as teams have been doing against the Pacers. But it was kind of got to be a back-and-forth night. The Lakers have a lot of guys that can make shots, and they're bringing guys off the bench, like Lou Williams and Jordan Clarkson, who were real active and were able to get shots up. And then another guy off the bench, Larry Nance Jr., was a problem, finishing at the rim and following up shots at the rim. So there was a lot of frustration on the defensive end for the Pacers, especially when they were unable to get a bucket and the Lakers were in transition, and it made things, the defensive ability to get back, rotate, cover up in transition. Everybody seemed a little lost and discombobulated. I know after the game, Thad Young talked about his frustration, even down the stretch, as Paul George put the game away. He was frustrated with having to have PG create what were some difficult shots, which he made to win the game. And he really had no answer for when he thought they might be able to come together and play like they expect. But I guess the good news is nobody was real happy with the way they played. And as Kevin Serafin said when asked if they were practicing tomorrow, "Hell yeah." As in, did you see what was going on out there? Of course we're practicing. Plenty to work on. So let's go through really quick the highlights of the game. Paul George was the key to the win. He scored 30 points. He's scored over 20 in every game. This was a season high, and he really brought the game home, scoring 12 points of the game, making 4 or 5 shots, making his free throws down the stretch, finished making all 12 free throws he attempted for the game, and all of that happened in the last 4 minutes. As for a while, the Pacers were starting to swap buckets with the Lakers, and the Lakers had the lead 108 107 with just under 2 minutes to play, but they wouldn't score again, and PG closed them out, scoring the final 8 points of the game. So, big win. It's nice to be able to have that star to turn to when you're going down the stretch. Pacers were trying to get other things going, and eventually they just started running a screen for the ball handler to have the Lakers switch and get a mismatch for PG, get him the ball, and just let him go to work with a smaller guy on him. And he did that. Now, he did take some difficult shots along the way, little fadeaways, but he was able to get clear and shoot clean looks, and that's all he needed to make it work. So he's the Olympian, he's the alpha dog, he's the star of the team, and he put them on his shoulders today to make sure that they got the W, and that is the bottom line in this league. But later on, we'll play some audio of what he had to say after the game, and he was definitely subdued and not in a celebratory mood, really frustrated with things defensively, as you'll hear, but happy that, you know, he knew it was his time, and they got the ball in his hands, but it was his time. So, and the negative side of things, we got to look at Jeff Teague right out of the gate. I know Greg Doyle has an article about how Teague has just been, you know, awful so far this year. And obviously, if you take a four-game comparison, they lost the deal with George Hill. So that is a little drastic at this point, I'd say, for Greg to be, you know, drawing that conclusion. I don't think that Teague is going to be shooting under 20%. For the season. That's just not who he is. He has led the team every game in assists. But today was the first time where it really could see a bit of a crisis of confidence brewing to the top. And was kind of hoping when he got home, after having a pretty good home opener, that he would be in the friendly confines of the field house and get something going. He did make an early three-pointer, made a couple shots, but when it seemed like he had time to get open and think about the shot before he shot it, things were off. And you know, his runner is off a little bit. In fact, I think one of his runners missed so badly it turned into an assist to Thad Young because it hit nothing. And Young was able to scoop it up and score. So the confidence issue seems real at this point, and almost as if he's been watching John Lester try and pick off runners at first. I don't know if you've seen the Cubs left-hander, who's a fantastic pitcher, but has developed a bit of a mental block against being able to throw the ball over. And it almost looked like, instead of getting more comfortable at home, Teague was thinking about everybody from his hometown watching him and seeing his shot before it went in and feeling the pressure to make it. I know that PG talked about it after the game. Nate McMillan talked about it. They don't want to say he's losing his confidence. I have been thinking maybe something's a little wrong with his knee and his confidence in the knee, and that's not helping him, at least on the defensive end. That may be the case, but right now, as far as just shooting the ball and playing natural and playing in the flow, I think more of that is with his head as opposed to any other body parts. So it's a struggle. Obviously, it's early, and as long as his team keeps, you know, going to him and trying to work him out of it, and it doesn't cost him any more games, I feel like he'll work out of it and at least give a better effort on the offensive end. On a positive note, Aaron Brooks was able to play tonight, and he played a little over 15 minutes, scored 8 points, and did a good job running things. Talk about confidence. He's oozing confidence at all times. In fact, late in the game, you know, he was playing his best there in the middle of the fourth quarter. And I was kind of wondering if McMillan might just leave him in there and leave Teague down. But he brought Teague in to finish the game. And while he wasn't able to do anything that carried the team down to the win, at least he was on the floor. And they were able to get PG to do the dirty work and get the W. But we remain with a watchful eye on Teague, and hope he can turn around as they go up to Milwaukee on Thursday. So, on some level, you got to give the Lakers credit. It was obviously weird to see the Lakers here without Kobe Bryant. There were still quite a few Laker fans in the crowd, although the size of the crowd was not like it had been during the Kobe years, where it was a sellout and tough ticket to get. A lot of empty seats, kind of a normal midweek crowd for a game against a middling, mediocre team, which the Lakers are right now. There was a Ron Artest Meta World Peace sighting in the game. Timothy Mozgov had gotten popped in the nose a couple times. Both times just went down in a heap. The first time, I thought maybe he had torn an ACL or something, but the second time after he went down, he had shots and had to leave the floor, and so they brought in Ronnie to shoot the free throws, and he played for a few minutes, a little over 2 minutes, so he got a couple points and got a little buzz in the crowd, of course, when he took the floor. But other than that, some really foul trouble for Nick Young and D'Angelo Russell forced the Lakers to use their bench, and that may have helped them out because, as I mentioned earlier, Lou Williams and Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr. all scored over double figures and were big factors in the game and helped push the Lakers back in after being down double digits early and actually take the lead in the fourth quarter and make things far too interesting at the Fieldhouse. So, again, as I mentioned, the Pacers play the Bucks on Thursday, and then they're back on Saturday night to take on the Chicago Bulls. And hopefully, again, things will be improved from what we saw tonight against the Bulls, because they're going to be tough. And you know they're going to bring down some fans because they can't get into the UC, and it's almost cheaper to come to a Pacers game. So hopefully Pacers fans will fill up the Field House, and if you want to do that, you got to use your SeatGeek app, get on there, find some good seats for the game. You know, the NBA season is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close in person this season. There's nothing like being at a big game to see the biggest plays of the year. With SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, whether you want to sit courtside, the club seats, or the upper level. Now, I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's very simple to use. Real quick, let me pop up the Bulls and Pacers for Saturday, and looks like we can get lower level best deal is $115, so you know those tickets are hot on the market with the Bulls fans. You can get in the upper deck for under $20, but there's not a lot of those up there either. So make sure you get on the app and get some tickets for Saturday. You know, with SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending upon where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. And best of all, for my listeners now, get $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. To get the $20 rebate, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code. Enter promo code LOPACERS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app, enter promo code LOPACERS today. Okay, I want to share what Paul George had to say after the game in the locker room. He was definitely frustrated. Right after the game on the TV interview, he was a little more upbeat as he gave a little dig at Kobe Bryant by saying, the Lakers were a tough team, and those guys are probably happy that they could get some shots now that Kobe wasn't there. And then, of course, gave a nice shout-out to Palmdale, his Southern California home, just north of L.A. So after the game, he was subdued and, frustrated with the defensive issues. Did talk about getting the ball and taking over the game. Also, kind of trying to take a step back throughout the game, trying to get other people involved. He was pretty efficient. He only took 16 shots to get his 30 points, and Definitely isn't a guy trying to dominate the ball, but instead trying to get everybody playing together. He also mentioned, you know, a need for some more structure possibly, and maybe the frustration that, you know, they're trying to implement this new system with all these new faces, and maybe it would have been easier if they'd been playing together for a year, but that's just not the case. So they're going to have to adjust, and they're going to have to get rolling. So here's what PG had to say after the game.
I think Nate called a timeout with you guys trailing by one. Play out of the timeout is for you. Just what was going through that situation, understanding that you might get the ball in that situation, and the ball just kept going to you.
Well, I mean, I felt confident in that moment. You know, I had point guards matched up on him. I knew I had the mismatch and the advantage. I'm just glad, you know, he addressed it and allowed me to take over at the moment.
Do you get a sense that even though there's lulls in these four games, that you guys are at least, these two home games have closed correctly, at least closed well? Is there at least some relief in that?
Yes, yeah, positive. It's positive in it. We shouldn't get to that point. Our defense has been very poor as a team. I think we're giving effort individually, but we're allowing teams to score on us and not, our weak side, our help side. I think just our team defense in a whole is just not there. Over a course of a game, we're going to get, blow-bys. We're going to get, the offense is going to have the advantage on some plays, on one-on-one matchups. But I don't think as a whole our team defense is where it needs to be.
Is there a lack of communication? Is
that
what it
goes? A little bit of that. I think I think we're just not dialed in to where we need to be. I think there's a little bit of uncertainty on some plays. Mm-hmm.
Could you sense midway through the fourth quarter, if the game stays where it is, that as a star, the game will come into your hands? Do you sense that as you get from 4 minutes, from 5 to 4, 4 to 3?
Yeah, I mean, I know those final 3 minutes, that's my time. Regardless of, I think Coach Nate knows that and understands that as well, that those last 3 minutes is my time.
What does it feel like on offense as you guys struggle to get acquainted with one another and find some chemistry and rhythm and that type of thing? What's it feel like? You're scoring points, so it's not like you're scoring 80 points.
Yeah. I think honestly, we would be great if we've been together for about a year already, and then he presented this free flow. That way we already understand and know each other's games. We're still trying to figure guys out. I say it every time, but it's really what it is. We're just unsure of what guys are going to do. It's not that guys want to be selfish and want to hold on to the ball. I think in today's NBA, so many teams switch, and it forces guys to isolate because of that switch. And I think we're falling into that. That's the reason why I say we got to just get more ball movement, more flow. We got to be conditioned well in offense.
Would you like to see more structure then right now?
I think certain games or certain moments within a game, I should say. I honestly like the randomness a little bit during games to catch teams off guard, and I think guys getting a little better rhythm once the game is going and opened up. But I think it should be a 60-40, 50-50 type of deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, the last 4 days, obviously with the back-to-back losses on the road, what's the you being a voice in this locker room, how does coming back from that road trip off two losses and what you tell your team, talk to your team about, and then tonight in the fourth quarter as the game seems to kind of start slipping away, like what is that message? Has it been consistent? Was there a particular message you tried to drive home when you guys got back that you reiterated tonight to kind of help put the game away?
I've just been getting on them on the defensive end. I know what a good defensive team is. I know what it looks like. We're now nowhere close to that. So that's the only thing I'm preaching to these guys. These guys have been in the league long enough to know their game, to know good basketball offensively. That's not where I need to come in at. Defensively is where we got to get better with. As fast as we are, once we get locked in defensively, We're going to put points on the board easily because the ball can move fast in transition and fast breaks. It's the defensive end is where I'm concerned.
Paul, were you encouraged by the last 2 minutes defensively? You were able to get stops. You were able to get a stop on Clarkson's shot. Is that a step in the right direction?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's credit to us being able to guard in the half court. We're good at that. You know, it's when we're not making shots, we're allowing teams to mess us up in transition, get the wrong matchups. And we're just not good at loading up and being able to play defense when we don't come down loaded up on them already. That's been our problem. We're pretty decent when we're able to, when they're able to walk the ball up and we're set in our defense. That's kind of been the strength on our defensive end. But, when we're turning it over, we're not making shots, we're not getting good looks, or we're taking bad shots. That's when we're having a hard time playing defense.
What are you seeing from Jeff tonight? He passed up a couple shots. You think he's lost confidence?
No, he hasn't lost confidence. I'm not sure. I don't think it's a confidence thing. He's one of our most confident players and one of our best players. I think he's at a point where he thinks he can get better shots. When the best shot is the ones he's passing up. I just think he thinks he can get a better one.
As you guys are trying to figure out things on the offensive end, are you finding yourself earlier in the game trying to get other people involved, taking maybe a little more step back? You're not taking a lot of shots. And then when it's your time, it's your time?
Yeah, that's one thing I want these guys to know is I want this to be something that works where we're all chipping in and being a piece. It's exhausting, to go a full season, regular season, to play both ends and, try to put up 30, 40 shots, 20 shots a night. We got to do this as a team. It's the only way, come playoff, we're going to already be dialed in to everyone contributing. It's something, I'm trying to let it be known early that I'm a team guy.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so that's what PG had to say from the field house after the Pacers win. And now it's on to Milwaukee. Thank you for listening. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the Pacers, on the game. Jeff Teague, Paul George, all of the above. So hit me up via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. Also, a big thanks to SeatGeek. And remember to download the SeatGeek app. Enter promo code LOPACERS and get a $20 rebate on your ticket purchase. Easy enough to get tickets and easy money for you. Don't forget, now you can find the podcast on audioboom.com. You can also subscribe to the pod on iTunes as well now as Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play. So all episodes available on those outlets, so check them out. Okay, that's a wrap for today. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.